In the United States, approximately 1 in 8 individuals or couples have difficulty getting pregnant or sustaining a pregnancy. And infertility can affect people from all backgrounds, and that includes people of color, members of the LGBTQ community, people of all ages, across the socioeconomic spectrum. A new month-long exhibit coming to Whitefish Bay, just north of Milwaukee, hopes to spark a conversation about the diverse experiences of infertility for patients and their loved ones, healthcare providers, and policymakers here in the state. One of the exhibit's curators joins us now for a preview of some of the art and storytelling on display and to tackle some myths that persist about infertility. Maria Novotny is Assistant Professor of English at UW-Milwaukee, co-director of The Art of Infertility, and co-editor of the book Infertilities, A Curation. Maria, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Might sound like a simple question, but as you point out in your book, it maybe isn't so simple. What are we talking about when we talk about infertility?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. Infertility, I think, is something that we actually don't actually talk a lot about. We're really great at, you know, celebrating pregnancies, celebrating Mother's Day, Father's Day. But infertility itself and recurrent reproductive loss is something that's still experienced with a lot of stigma, a lot of shame. But the reality is that infertility is, you know, it's a medical condition and it impacts lots of individuals. I know in your introduction, you said that it impacts 1 in 8. And actually in writing our book, the World Health Organization updated that statistic to 1 in 6 people. So we know that it's impacting a lot of people and a lot of people in our state. In fact, in Wisconsin, there's 172,000 people who are living with infertility. And there are a lot of different challenges that come with that diagnosis.
When I think about infertility, if I think about what I've seen in pop culture, I guess the vision that pops into my mind is probably middle class, white couple, a little older than the usual childbearing years. One big point in the book, and I think in the exhibit is as well, is that is not the only face of infertility. Can you talk about how you're trying to expand that story?
Yeah, we are. You're so right. Infertility, right? It does not discriminate. So there is that common type of myth, right? That this only impacts white, rich women. When in fact, actually Black and Brown women are more likely to experience infertility or recurrent loss because of underlying health conditions, such as ovarian issues or PCOS, but then also men are impacted by infertility. A common unknown fact that we talk a lot about in the book is that, you know, an infertility diagnosis, sometimes it's 1/3 of female factor issues, such as endometriosis. 1/3 is also a male factor issue, such as, you know, having low sperm count or bad sperm mobility. And then 1/3 is also a combination of unexplained or unknown or a factor of female factor and male factor. And the reality is too, right, that that doesn't also include same-sex individuals, right, who, you know, aren't having heterosexual sex to conceive a child. And so it's a limited definition. And that's really what we're trying to push on with the title, Infertilities, of both the exhibit and the book. The idea that there's not just one experience of infertility. You might have a cancer diagnosis and need to have fertility care in order to build your family. Again, you might have endometriosis and need to see a fertility doctor. There are multiple different reasons, multiple different people that are impacted by infertility. And we need to do a better job, I think, really understanding this as a medical issue, because there are a lot of financial barriers that come to actually treating your fertility diagnosis and then also building your family.
Now, when I first read about this exhibit and the book, I thought, okay, important issue, good to get people talking about it. What is that going to look like as an art exhibit? Can you walk us through what we'll actually see if we check out the in-person version of Infertility's A Curation?
Yeah, so it's such a unique experience because it's all patient-created pieces of art. Lots of times when you're going with infertility and experiencing it, it can be so difficult, so painful to go through and explain using words the emotions, right, of what it means to have that loss, to have another IVF cycle not work, to still have not that take-home baby in some instances. And so what we're trying to do with the art is really, again, portray the wider range. So we have some beautiful murals, for instance, of pieces that are made up of small individual syringes, but then also they're cut up and replaced together boxes of fertility drugs and needles, and then create these images of a family. We also have a cradle that contains a whole series of an IVF treatment. So you can see all the medications, all the syringes, all the shots that go into just trying to have one baby. And the reality is that that cycle for that person who created this piece, it never actually worked. And so you can see an empty crib just filled with unused syringes and medication boxes. It's really a powerful exhibit. And I encourage people to come and check it out on Friday.
Talking to Maria Novotny from UW-Milwaukee, co-director of The Art of Infertility, co-editor of the book Infertility's A Curation, an exhibit opening up and in the area. We'll give you some more information about that in just a bit. We've got a link at WPR.org/Central Time. Maria, we've tackled some, I think, of the myths of infertility, but in a lot of the stories in the book, people encounter, when they are willing to talk to people about it, I think people encounter strange reactions that might make them not want to talk about it. What are some of the things you want people to know to say, maybe not to say, to that friend or loved one who's dealing with various types of infertility?
Yeah, it can be really triggering. I mean, I myself have had experienced my own infertility. And so I still, you know, have to encounter, you know, when I get an announcement for a baby shower or a friend or family member, right, tells me that they're expecting. It's hard to know, you know, what to say when you have a friend that's going through infertility and you yourself are pregnant, how to kind of navigate that. It's also hard and difficult, right, on the person who is infertile to, you know, navigate what that experience is, because you want to be happy for them, but you're also sad at the same time. So some good things, right, to say are, you know, I'm so sorry. I know this is probably hurtful for you, or to tell people in advance before they do a big pregnancy announcement, to give them a heads up, to say, hey, I need to tell you something in a text, to try and set them down, to give them time to really process, right, what it means, how their relationship with this person might change now that they're going to have a baby welcoming into their family. There's also things not to say, right? So a common thing not to say is, I know that this is going to work out for you. I know that this next baby is going to be for you. Or I know that your time's going to come. Or, you know, you can always just adopt. Those are myths, right, that simply don't actually pan out, right? Because we know, for instance, one IVF cycle often doesn't result in a take-home baby. We also know that adoption, right, is not an easy solution, because adoption has a lot of costs and a lot of challenges associated with it too. And also adoptions can fail. Sometimes babies can't be taken home through that adoption practice. So these are all things to think about, and we offer a variety of different solutions and ideas in our book, Infertilities.
You divide the book into three different sections, and you kind of just queued up the last one, the conclusion, the outcomes of people's infertility experiences, and they may come out in very different ways that in some cases people may be happy with in very different ways. Can you talk about some of the different outcomes that people portray in the book?
Yeah. So just like I was mentioning with infertilities, you know, being a representative of all the different ways you may come to an infertility diagnosis. We also use the word infertilities because success does not equate a take-home baby. Infertility, right, is a lifelong type of identity and experience. For myself, for instance, I'm an adoptive mom. And so even though I've, quote, resolved my family building through my adoption, I'm still navigating infertility by having questions about, you know, why does my child have different color hair than I do, which are all innocent and well-meaning. But they're really ways in which that remind, you know, if you are infertile, the ways in which infertility doesn't just go away. And so with our book, with the third section, we're again really trying to speak back against those norms that, you know, success is going to happen. You are going to be able to beat infertility. Sometimes what really happens is that people need to come to their own new identity, new narrative of what success is. So that might be having to, you know, actually build your family through adoption, even though you really wanted to have a biological child, but that no longer is the route that you can do that. Sometimes it's simply, you know, residing that, you know, you're going to live child free, that you've spent enough money trying to make this happen, that you've gone through enough pain, and that you want to, you know, rethink what it's like to live your life without children. And those can be difficult decisions. There's a lot of grief in that, on top of grieving the fact that, you know, you can't naturally get pregnant the way that you always thought. And so we're really, again, trying to represent the realities of what it's like to live with infertility, not just like when you're receiving treatment, but, you know, throughout your life, throughout the ways in which family building, which is heralded as something to be celebrated, something that we like to celebrate, especially in the Midwest, to really talk a little bit about, you know, what are the realities and ways in which people have to kind of cope and grieve with the multiple different losses that come with infertility.
And Maria, are you hopeful that readers and viewers of the exhibit will be able to start talking about their own experiences with infertility, where they might not have been willing to or able to in the past?
We are. And that's really the point of having like art exhibitions that are made public, right? It's the idea that, you know, people who may think that they had no or little idea about what infertility is or how it impacts them, to kind of come away from the exhibit, seeing a lot of the pain, the challenges, the misconceptions really that come with an infertility diagnosis, and the realities that in our state of Wisconsin, for instance, there is no insurance mandate covering infertility. And so it can make really difficult decisions about what it is that you can afford in terms of treatment. We're hopeful that, you know, the exhibit itself being free, accessible to anyone, can really, again, do some of the educational work, do some awareness work, and really help invite other individuals throughout the state who might not be infertile to think about ways in which they can be more allies, and make more accessible alternative paths to family building.
Maria, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Great. Thank you so much.
That's Maria Novotny, Assistant Professor of English at UW-Milwaukee, co-director of The Art of Infertility, co-editor of the new book called Infertilities, A Curation. She joined us for a preview of an art exhibit about the experience of infertility. It's coming to the Milwaukee area this month. Find a full lineup of events either at artofinfertility.org/Milwaukee-WI, or you can just go over to WPR.org Central Time. We're going to have a link up there for you as well.